Title to the message this morning, it fits right along, even though we've been in the Old Testament. Remember we studied the prayer of Jehoshaphat a couple of weeks ago, and about giving him praise before the victory. Last week we looked at Elisha. Remember, and how he opened, prayed for that his servant's eyes would be open and he would see the protection of God around him. And I believe this goes right along with both of those messages. We're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 9:2. The title of the message is When the Rocks Cry Out. Luke 19. Luke 19, if you're not bringing your Bible, I encourage you to bring it. Don't, you'll miss out on a lot of things that God has for you, even though we have it on the wall here. You'll still miss things that God wants to show you in His Word. Bring your Bible. That's how we get to know our Creator, our Lord and Savior, the God that we do come and worship. That's how we learn about him and his relationship. Luke 19, starting with verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. Verse 29, and it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethage and to Bethany at the mount, called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village, over against you, in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. In other words, they'll find a colt there has never been ridden by man. Turn him loose, untie him, bring him to me. Verse 31, And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. Verse 32, And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And verse 40, And he answered and said unto them, I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst not even thou, at least in this thy day, these things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. Verse 43, For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side. Verse 44, And shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And verse 37, there we have the whole multitude beginning to rejoice and praise God. Why were they praising him? Why were they praising him at this time? And it tells us in the last part of 37, for all the mighty works that they had seen. I mean, they had seen him do lots of mighty works, lots of miracles, lots of things were going on. But the last thing that they had seen was when he rose Lazarus from the dead. I mean, this had them excited. This had them pumped up, and the whole multitude, they were rejoicing and praising God. And it tells us in verse 38 what they were saying. It said, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord.
the Pharisees.
It upset them because all these people were praising Jesus. And they
want him to rebuke them. They want him to say something to him, to tell him to quit. And look what he says. Look at the answer that he gives them in verse 40. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace,
in other words, if these people were not praising me, that these stones would immediately cry out. That's when I had Dora, I thank you guys, whoever, and probably Lois, you probably helped her, didn't you, for getting these stones for me. I want you to look at these stones. That this scripture tells us right here that at this time, at this place, if these people wasn't praising and rejoicing and giving praise to God, that these stones right here would cry out and they would give Jesus praise. Amen. We need to be giving God praise. We need to be giving praise to Jesus Christ. Have you ever experienced this? Has there ever been times that you wanted to just to raise your hands and praise? Maybe not just here at church. I'm not talking about just here at church. I'm talking about out anywhere. No matter where you're at, whether you're out in the wood, just to raise your hands and praise the Lord. You ever been there and felt that and didn't do it? Yeah, have you? Be honest with yourself. I have. You know, I've wanted to raise my hands and just praise him. And then later on think, why didn't I do that? Why didn't I do that? I'm telling you, this scripture right here tells us that if we do not praise and give God the glory and the praise, these rocks are going to praise. They're going to cry out in praise. You know, I think back when I was a kid and coming to church here, and of course there used to be classrooms up here and these other three pews here have been added, 1, 2, 3. These pews here weren't even here. This was the front pew. You were sitting on the front pew. 1, 2, 3. They were sitting either right here or right here. No, they were sitting right here. Third pew back. Mr. and Mrs. Golden. That's all we called them. That's all the kids called them. I couldn't even tell you their first and last names. I mean, that's what we called them. But I'll guarantee you, every service that they come in here, it didn't matter if there was two people here or if there was 100, they came to worship God, and they came to praise him. And I remember sitting back there about, you know, on the back most of the time, and if they felt led to raising their hands and praise God, and that's what they did. And I've been in their home, and if they felt like it in their home, that's what they done. And oftentimes in their home, that's what they did. They raised their hands and gave God praise. You know, and I'll be honest, as a kid, you know, I kind of thought they was like, you know. Some of you may think that about me right now. I hope you do, because I am. I am crazy about Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. You know, and this is just not about praising here at church. This is about praising God no matter where you're at. If you feel the Spirit of God coming up on you to give him praise, then you give him praise. If you're driving down the road, a young lady told me she was doing that and giving him praise, and everybody started waving at her. Make them wave at you. You might need to get a hold of the steering wheel once in a while, but, you know, give him praise no matter where you're at. Now, verse 40, it says that the stones would cry out. In other words, he's saying that Jesus Christ is going to be praised. He shall be praised, and he must be praised. Do you realize that each one of us here today, that's why we are created, we are made to worship him. And you're either going to be worshiping him or you're going to be worshiping something else. He says, and if these people hadn't, the rocks would themselves would even cry out. Look what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Philippians 2,
verses 10 and 11.
I'm going to read verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and giving him a name which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. At some point in time, everyone, even if you do not do it in this lifetime, you're going to recognize and acknowledge that Jesus Christ was and is Lord and Savior. Amen? You know, there's times that we don't want to do that. There's people that will not accept what Jesus has done. They will not accept Him as Lord and Savior of their life. But at some time, they're going to acknowledge who He is. You realize that every story you read about it, about the demons in the Scripture, that every time they recognized who Jesus was, they knew who Jesus was. No, didn't nobody have to tell them. They knew who He was. Someday, every knee will bow before Him. You may not want to now, but someday every individual will. Now the next thing I'd like to hit on here is the tears. In verse 41, and when He was come near, He beheld the city. And you know, that tells me that he was looking at this down on the city, and what does He do? And He wept over it. He had a tender spirit. And the interesting thing about this, while he is weeping, everyone around Him is rejoicing. What's He weeping for? He's weeping over Jerusalem. And it goes on and tells us more in the last part of verse 44. He says, "Thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He was right there among them, and they did not realize it. He wept. He was weeping over the city of Jerusalem. Why? Because they did not know. Many of those rejected Him. They did not know. They thought he was going to be an earthly ruler. And He lays the ruins of Jerusalem that she's going to be destroyed on herself. Verse 42 says, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now are they hid from thy eyes." Things that belong to our peace. Did you get that? That relates to our present and our future welfare. We can apply this to our lives of the day. The time of our peace is when you're being visited by the Spirit of God, when the Word of God is speaking to you, when the Spirit of God is speaking to you. He's telling you to raise your hands and worship Him. He's telling you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's telling you to repent of your sins. What does it mean to repent? It means to turn. Turn from what you're doing. Turn from what you're living and turn to Christ. Make Him Lord of your life. That's when He's visiting to you. That's when that peace becomes your responsibility. Amen? The time of visitation, that time of peace, when those things are made known unto us. The time of visitation that we're living in now is a time of grace. When the Word is preached to you, when you read God's Word and the Spirit of God visits you, it touches you, it shows you something that you have never seen before, it blesses your heart, that's when you're being visited by the Spirit of God. That peace that you can have then becomes your responsibility, because it has been revealed to you. Your eyes have been opened. Man, this is awesome. The multitude. When you read and look at this, the multitude here, how many times do we get caught up in the moment? I'm sure that's what happened to a lot of these people here. They were caught up in the moment, and they were rejoicing and praising and just kind of going along with the crowd. Let me tell you something. If you've got the Spirit of God in you, and He's visiting you, He's touching your heart and life, you're not going to get caught up in the moment, but you're going to be doing it for the glory of God. Amen? So, this multitude here, what happens to them? They were being visited, and they did not take this opportunity to improve upon their peace, to acknowledge that they had been visited by God. The peace that had been revealed to him in 42, the last part of 42, said, is what? Said, but now they are hid from thine eyes. They were not aware that that was God in the flesh. They was not aware what was fixing to happen. If you read on, after this happened, what happens after this? The crucifixion. I mean, some of these same people that were caught up in that moment, they were praising and rejoicing and jumping up and down, giving praise to God. And yet, just a few days later, there's some of those same people that are in the crowd getting caught up in the moment and saying, crucify him, crucify him. They was not aware of that accepted time. They was not aware of the peace that they could have in their life. When is this accepted time? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, he says in the Scripture, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If the Spirit of God has been calling you, has been speaking to you, the peace that you can have has now been put upon you. The Word of God has done its job and is telling you not to put it off any longer. It's to telling you that today is the day of your salvation. Today is the accepted time. Don't be like these people here that was this caught up in this multitude, in this crowd. They did not do what they needed to do. You see, as sinners, we're the same way. We're the same way as Jerusalem. We cannot escape the day of destruction. The only way we can escape that is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, being born again. Because if you're just coming to church, if you're just going along with that multitude, just going along with that crowd, you're going to miss Jesus. You're going to miss him. Because your eyes are going to continue to be blinded. Your heart is going to continue to be hard. And you're not going to escape hell. You realize that? It's not about coming to church. It's not about doing this or about doing that. But it's about being born again. The peace that we have becomes our responsibility. Once you have been visited by the Spirit of God, once the Spirit of God, the Word of God, has spoken to you, then that becomes your responsibility. But a lot times it becomes a stumbling block to us. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 33. And then we're going to go to 1 Peter after that. Romans 9, verse 33. as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone. A stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble. Stumble at what? It tells at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into a marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Whew. Is the Word of God being a stumbling block to you? I tell you, it is for a lot of people. Because when you're trying to live your own life, you're trying to live a life that you want to live, it is going to be a stumbling block for you. Because you get to saying that there's some other way, that God's too good to send me to hell. I've done this and I've done that. It becomes a stumbling block to you. Maybe you're like one of the parables in Luke chapter 8, verse 6 that it talks about. It's talking about the sower. The sower, and the sower is the word of the seed is the word of God. And verse 6 says that some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And verse 13 goes on to explain that they on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these that they have no root, which for a while believe, but in the time of temptation they fall away. Why did that happen? Because they did not have no moisture. They did not have the word of God. The word of God, the Spirit of God had visited upon them and talk to them and witness to them and trying to draw them to them. But they turned away. Where are you at this morning? Are you letting the rocks do the job for you? Are you praising them? When that responsibility of your peace comes upon you, what have you done about it? Let me tell you something. God is new this morning. The Spirit of God, through the Word of God, can speak peace into your life. It's your responsibility. You've heard. Today, right now, you cannot say that I do not know how to have eternal life. Because you can have it, my friend. You can have the Spirit of God. You can have the peace of God through Jesus Christ, through what he did for you on the cross. All you got to do is trust him as Lord and Savior. All you got to do is respond to that visit that he's making to you right now. Think about this. Just 1 second. We're going to close. The God that made the universe, that created everything that you have, everything that you own, everything that you see, is talking to you. And he wants to visit you. And he wants to spend eternity with you. But he also wants us to praise him. Are you praising him like you should? When that Spirit of God visits you, respond to it.